page 100. We gave an introduction last week to Akedat Yitzchak, and this week we will begin going through Pasuk by Pasuk, verse by verse. It was after these things. V'ha'elokim Yisar to Abraham, and God tested Abraham. V'yomer Elav, and he said to him, Abraham, v'yomer Hineni. So we talked about that pasuk last week, about Hashem testing Abraham. V'yomer Kachna, Espincha, Eskisincha, Shahavta, Eskitzchak, take now, or please take, your son, your only one, the one who you loved, Yitzchak, V'lech lecha el eretz ha-Moriah, go to the land of Moriah, V'haleh usham le'ola, and bring him up there as an ola, as a totally burnt offering. Alach an ha'arim, on one of the mountains, asher omar elecha, that I will say to you. So, what is meant by Espincha esichidcha asher ahavta esitzchak? Your son, your only one, the one who you loved, Yitzchak. Why all those phrases? Why not just say, take Yitzchak? Wouldn't it be well known if you just said Yitzchak?
To emphasize. They had two sons.
Okay. To emphasize what?
That he is the son who is going to be inheriting this heritage and the future leader.
So what would have been lost had it just written Yitzchak?
It wouldn't have been emphatic. It wouldn't have made as much of a statement.
Well, I think you answered the question last week for us. You said that by mentioning these things, God made clear to Abraham that he understood that Abraham had another son, that he had Ishmael and so on. So Hashem was letting him know, yes, I know all of those things you might say, but I still mean Yitzchak.
I still mean Yitzchak. Mm-hmm. I don't mean the other one. There are two, but this is the one that I mean. Here, Chazal tell us that, in addition to what we said last week, that it was clear from the outset that he would mean Yitzchak. Who else would it be, given the fact that Abraham, that Yitzchak is the one who is the heir to Abraham's legacy, and Abraham knows that, Yitzchak knows that, Sarah knows that, everybody knows that, we know that already. But, nevertheless, Hashem was unclear. And had he just said, Bincha, your son, they could have left it open for Yishmael. Yechidcha, your only one. Each son was the only son to their mother, at least to that point. The one who you loved, Abraham says, I love them both. And finally, Yitzchak. It's more than just that Hashem is narrowing it down. But it's important to note that the first three words don't narrow it down. Your son, I have two. Your only son, I have two only sons. One to each of their mothers. The one who you loved, I love them both. Es Yitzchak. Well, I only have one Yitzchak. It's important to note that Abraham is not lying over here. He doesn't know when Hashem starts talking that he means to take that son and bring him up as a sacrifice. What if Hashem would have said, take your son, your only son, the one who you loved, Yitzchak, and give him all your money? What if that would have been the evil? What if that would have been the command? You would have had the same exchange. Your son, I have two. Your only son, I have two only sons. The one who you loved, I love them both. Yitzchak. Abraham is not trying to avoid the death sentence on Yitzchak because he doesn't know yet that it's a death sentence. So it can't be that he's trying to avoid the death sentence. That's not until after we narrow it down to Yitzchak. Then he says, bring him up as a sacrifice. So it's important to note that although we've had in the past the whole episode with Yishmael being thrown out of the house, still, at this point, Abraham says, I love them both. They are both my only sons. Abraham still loves Yishmael. Yishmael has not been written off by Abraham. In fact, in the next pasuk, we're not finished with this one yet, but in the next pasuk it says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Avraham got up early in the morning. Vayachavoshes Kamoro, and he saddled his donkey. Vayikaches Shnei Me'arav Ito, and he took his two lambs with him. Vayisis Chasbeno, and he took his son. Vayivaka Asay Ola, and he cut wood for the Ola, for the sacrifice, to burn the sacrifice. Vayakam Vayelech, he got up and he went El Hamakom Asher Omar Lohu Elokim, to the place that God said to him. Who are these two lads? Shnei Me'arav.
That's what I wanted to ask.
Okay. So who are they?
Eliezer,
his slave, and Yishmael. Those are the two lads.
Okay, I missed last week. So.
Okay. I don't know if I mentioned. Did I mention last week? I didn't mention last week. Mm-hmm. Okay. At this point, how old is Yitzchak, you said, the last week? Yitzchak is 37 years old. So how old is Yishmael? 51. Yishmael was 14 years old. Remember, he was 13 when he got the bris. A year later, Yitzchak is born. So he's 14 years old, so he's 51 years old.
These are lads?
Okay, good. Well, compared to Avraham. Avraham is 137.
But isn't Eliezer that old?
I don't know how old Eliezer is. It could be because of his strength and the way he acted. He acted like a lad. It could be. I'm not sure. Remember, when we talked about Yishmael being thrown out of the house, we said that Yishmael, in the end of his life, does do teshuvah. This is long before the end of Yishmael's life. How long does Yishmael live? 137. Let's double check that before we go out on a limb over here.
I think.
What's that?
Yitzchak was 137.
Yitzchak lived to be 180.
Oh, but he was 137.
Here, in this story, he's 37.
Avraham is
137. Avraham is 100 years older than Yitzchak. Right. Right. Give me one moment here. Let's just double check that. Yeah, he was 337. So he's only 51. So there's many, many more years to his life. So when we say Yishmael did teshuvah, he did teshuvah pretty early in life. He was thrown out of the house. He was 14 when Yitzchak was born. He was 16 when Yitzchak was weaned. And then sometime after that, he's thrown out of the house. We don't know when. But sometime between this, so we don't know exactly when he was thrown out. But then, at 51, he's back in the house. Because he goes along with Avraham. And Avraham says to Hashem, I love them both. So Yishmael, you see, did do teshuvah, and it seems that it was pretty early on in his life. And he's already found back in the house, and he already is considered loved by Avraham.
Is Hagar there?
Hagar is not there.
Okay.
Hagar is not there. We'll find Hagar reintroduced at the end of Parshas Chayetza. It says in the pasuk, going back to pasuk base, "V'lech lecha el eretz hamoriah." What does that remind you of?
Lech lecha.
How can you miss it, right? Lech lecha, the same phrase of lech lecha that we used back in the beginning of Parshas, lech lecha, is used over here again. "V'lech lecha el eretz hamoriah." That can't be ignored. What is the Torah conveying to us by using the same phrase, which actually is an unusual phrase? What is being conveyed by saying Lech Lecha back then and now?
Another test.
Okay, you're both right, except that Avraham has had many tests. Mm-hmm. 10. So it can't be that it's used for any test.
Sometimes he's told to go somewhere but wasn't told where to go.
He's not being told. He's not being shown everything.
Okay, he's not being told everything. That's true. Okay, so he can go, but
very limited in who's to go with him. The other time, you take your wife and
okay.
The other people.
Okay. Didn't say exactly who he should take, but he took his immediate family. That's true.
But these two times, I don't know all the tests, but these two tests are extremely significant because the first one was the beginning, and now to give up his son is the tenth one.
Okay. Most commentators say it's the tenth one. It's not every commentator, but you're right. You're right. I'm going to say what you said, just a little bit more sharply. The first Lech Lecha, Hashem tells Abraham, sever yourself from your past. And in this Lech Lecha, he's telling Abraham, sever yourself from your future. You're all alone. Lech Lecha, you go, you're on your own. I don't want you to serve me because of your past. I want you to be totally severed from your past. And now Hashem says to Abraham, you're not serving me conditionally on your future either. You serve me because I'm God and you're my subject. And Abraham is severely tested over here. Because as we mentioned last week, his whole purpose in life has been to create this legacy, to give over to this child. That's been his focus. And he finally has the child, raises the child, and now Hashem says, I want you to sever yourself from that future. That future that your entire existence has been focused on this future. And your entire service of me has been focused on this future. Now I want you to sever yourself from it. And as we said last week, it makes no sense. It doesn't make any logical sense. Because Abraham knows this hurts Hashem's goal, Hashem's plan. The whole plan is that Abraham should have offspring, and that offspring should be the Jewish people who will bring the world back to its perfection. And yet, Hashem is saying, destroy that only offspring that you have. And that is why this test is so severe. And that is exactly what Abraham was being tested for. Are you going to question? It makes no sense. But Hashem is telling Abraham, you weren't asked if it makes sense. You were told to do. And you're not told to try and figure it out. You're told to do what you're supposed to do. And that we know that as Jews, that's what differentiates us from everybody else. Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and then we will understand, but we are committed to doing first without understanding. We do need to understand. Hashem doesn't want us to be mindless. He wants us to understand. But the understanding comes after the doing. We do, even though we don't understand. And then afterwards we figure it out. And so Hashem is telling him, sever yourself from your future, just as I told you to sever yourself from your past. Go to the land of Moriah, and bring him up there as an olah, as a sacrifice, on Achad HaHarim. Now Achad HaHarim is translated as one of the mountains. Asher Amar Elecha, that I will say to you, one of the mountains. However, there is another way you can translate this phrase, based on a translation in this same, is it this parasha or is it? No. In Parashas Toldos, where Avimelech refers to himself, to Yitzchak, as Achad Ha'am. Achad Ha'am could mean one of the nation, but over there, since he's the king, the reference is actually the one of the nation. Achad Ha'am means the one of the nation, meaning the main one, the king. Here too, Achad HaHarim is translated as the one of the mountains, meaning the main mountain. Which mountain is this? Har HaMoriah, which is the mountain where the Beis HaMikdash will be built. So he's telling him, go to the one of the mountain, that main mountain, which is where the Beis HaMikdash will eventually be built. Abram gets up early in the morning, he saddles the donkey, and he takes the two lads, as we said, and Yitzchak, and he chops the wood, and he gets up and goes to the place that Hashem said to him. How does he know where to go? What's that?
Prophecy?
Well, he knows to go to the land of Moriah. Mm-hmm. That he knows. Yeah. Does he know which mountain in Moriah?
Which
I shall tell you. So he doesn't know yet which mountain it is. Now, we all know that he does know which mountain it is. Because he knows that there is a place where the Beis HaMikdash was going to be built. We talked about this back in Parshas Lech Lecha, that Avraham had a keen awareness of where the Kedusha, where the holiness was greatest. And therefore, all his travels get closer and closer to Yerushalayim, to Har HaMoriah. This is where he finally gets there. So he knows where it is, but nevertheless, he doesn't know. Now, Hashem hasn't told him, and he's not going to go without Hashem telling him, as Hashem said, the one that I'm going to tell you.
You have never been there before.
He doesn't record that he has been there before. It doesn't record that he's been there before. Pasuk Dalet 4. Vayom Ashlishi, on the third day, Vayisah Avraham Etainav, Avraham looked up his eyes, Vayaris Hamokom Erachok, and he saw the place from far away. So several questions. First of all, 3 days. Does it take 3 days to travel from Hebron, or from Be'er Sheva, wherever he was? Does it take that long to travel from Be'er Sheva to Yerushalayim? On foot, even on foot, it takes 3 days?
From Be'er Sheva, is it?
Yeah. From Be'er Sheva to Yerushalayim, how long, how far is it?
About
2 hours. A 45-minute drive. I mean,
No, he wouldn't go at night.
Okay.
It's dangerous.
Kept
stopping to pray, probably.
Very religious.
Awful thing.
No, I'm sure he did all that. In Savannah, it took 10 minutes to drive from our hotel to the shul. I wanted to see where it was. So when I walked it on Shabbos, it was an hour and a half.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
So 45-minute drive?
Two hours drive.
All right. 3 days is still kind of excessive.
We stopped for a falafel.
On Wittenberg time.
You better feed the animals.
So Rashi tells us it took an extra time because Hashem wanted him delayed. Hashem delayed him deliberately. He deliberately made it take a long time. He made the task very difficult. Why? Rashi tells us because Hashem wanted it to be clear. People may think that Avraham did this because he didn't have time to think. Hashem appeared to him, told him to sacrifice his son, and Avraham, in the spur of the moment, in a great self-sacrifice, in a mood of just do whatever it takes, he got up the guts and he did it. But if it took 3 days to get there, you can be sure he had a chance to think about it. He had to go to sleep at night. He had to think about it.
You know, he's the man of chesed. This must have prevailed.
That's right.
And Yitzchak knew what was going on?
Well, okay, we're going to show in a minute what Yitzchak knew and didn't know. So far, he doesn't know. So hold on. Okay, well, when they're going to bring a sacrifice. That's okay. They brought sacrifices. Another question is, Avram lifted up his eyes and he saw the place from far away. How could he have seen the place if he didn't know where it was? What did he see? So Rashi tells us again, there was a cloud that surrounded the mountain. It was a cloud that was apparently clearly out of place, that was around the mountain to show which mountain it was. And that was Hashem's way of showing Avraham. Vayom Avraham el Ne'arav, and Avraham said to his lads, meaning Eliezer and Yishmael, Shavulachem po'im ha'chamar, sit for yourselves here with the donkey. Va'ani ve'hanar ne'elcha adko, and you and I, excuse me, and I and the lad, which lad?
Yitzchak.
Ne'elcha adko, we will go until here. V'nishtachave v'nashuva aleichem, and we will bow, and we will return to you. Now, and we will return to you, good. We will return to you. What does it mean that he refers to Yitzchak as a nar? Until now, Avraham, we have Yishmael and Eliezer are not mentioned by name. We have Yishmael and Eliezer mentioned as Ne'arav, his lad, says that twice. We have Avraham mentioned by name, we have Yitzchak mentioned by name. But when Avraham speaks, he refers to Yitzchak as I and the lad. They aren't lads. Aren't they also called lads? You can all ask the question which you asked before, which you're calling a 51-year-old a lad. That's a good question. But he is calling them lads. So what do you mean, I am the lad? There are three lads here.
Because
he's younger.
Okay.
it's a little confusing for the Torah to do that to us, because the Torah is referring to them as Na'arav, and then now you refer to him as Hanar.
It's just the focus. I mean, he's the one.
Okay, he's Hanar. He's the lad. Right, see, until now, all three of them are Na'arav. He has three lads. But now, he singles out Yitzchak as the lad. And he says it to them. He says to them, you stay here, and I and the lad. Clearly, Avraham is saying something exclusive. He is cutting them out in some way. You're not the lad. He is the lad. Just to underscore that point, there's a famous drasha here. Chazal says something very, very well known. Shivu lachem po im hachamor. Sit for yourselves here with the donkey. The word im, which means with, if you change the vowel, can be am. What does am mean?
Nation.
So Chazal tells the sages say that you stay here as a nation like the donkey. As a nation like the donkey. Am hadom alechamor. Or im hadom alechamor, you could say it as that way also. That you remain here like the donkey. Meaning, your status will be no greater. You remain as the donkey. This sentence here, in saying this, by telling them to remain behind, Avraham is now drawing the line. Avraham is saying, until now, I had three lads. I had Eliezer, my faithful servant. I had Yishmael, my son, from Hagar. And I had Yitzchak, my son, from Sarah. All three have a connection to me. It is from here on in that Yitzchak will be distinguished as the lad. And you too will no longer be recognized as my lad. You will now be no more than the donkey. Just as the donkey, I have what to do with the donkey too. It's my donkey. You will now be no longer any more than the donkey as well. There's a clear distinction. This is where you get the first clear and obvious separation between the Jewish people and the rest of the world. There is no Jewish people yet, because there's no nation. But Yitzchak, being the heir to Avraham, is the beginning of the nation. Until Avraham has Yitzchak, he doesn't have any nation. Yitzchak is the beginning of the legacy. And that separation, which endures forever, is set in stone right here. And that's what Avraham is saying to them. Until this point, till we saw that mountain on that cloud, till we saw that, the lines weren't drawn yet. But now the line is drawn. You're remaining behind, he's going on. Avraham understood that this was going to make the difference. Now he didn't know how, because as far as he was concerned, Yitzchak was about to be killed. And then what happens to the legacy? That's the illogical part, and that's the test. He doesn't know. But he does know that if Hashem has told him to do this to Yitzchak, then Yitzchak is being separated from the rest. Remember we said until here that Yishmael could have been part of the master plan in one way or another. Whether he would have been an equal to Yitzchak, he would have been secondary to Yitzchak, but he would have been in center stage along with the Jewish people. And he failed, or I should say Hagar failed. And therefore Yishmael is not. But that distinction, what role will Yishmael play? What role will Eliezer play? That is unclear. Here, by Hashem saying to Avraham, you are to take Yitzchak to the mountain and make him into a sacrifice, Avraham is now being told very clearly, Yitzchak is going to stand alone. There may be other players in history, but they're very minor and on the outside. Yitzchak stands alone. The Jewish people will stand alone. Badad Yeshev. And that is what he's making clear to them with this instruction. Now, Rashi also points to us to the word Ad Ko. Vani vanar, I am the lad. Nelcho, we will go ad ko, until ko. How do they translate it in here? We'll go yonder. Okay. Go yonder. Rashi tells us that Avraham was choosing his words very carefully. Because Hashem, if you'll recall, had taken Avraham outside, taken him above the stars, pointed to the stars, and said to Avraham, what? Your children will be
like the stars.
The words that Hashem used when he said that were, Ko yie zarecha. So will your children be. He used the word ko. Avraham was saying, I and the lad will go ad ko, until ko. In other words, to find out what's going to be with ko. Ko yie zarecha. So will your children be. Avraham here in this statement was also saying, I understand that Hashem is distinguishing Yitzchak over here. Yitzchak is part and parcel of this test of mine. Until now the tests were me, or Sarah. I had to leave. Sarah was taken by Paro. Whatever it is, it was always me, or me and Sarah, or whatever. Now Hashem is clearly involving Yitzchak. I mean, Yitzchak is now going to stand alone. But he's going to be dead. So how could he stand alone and be dead at the same time? I don't know. I'm going to do it anyway because Hashem said so. And we're going to see what happened to that promise of Ko Yezarecha, so will your children be, referring to like the stars. And Avraham has no idea. And that is in the very sentence where he states that I understand Yitzchak is being distinguished and separated, I have no idea what's going to happen to Yitzchak. It seems to me illogical. It's a paradox. He's going to be separated and stand alone, carry on the legacy, but he will be dead. How will that happen? I have no idea. And that's what Avraham is hinting to as well when he says, Nelcha ad ko, we will go until ko. And as Mrs. Kaiser pointed out, the verse ends off, we will bow and we will return to you. We will return to you. Again, the paradox. He's going to be dead, but he carries on the legacy. So we will return to you. I don't know how. Rashi says over here that Avraham was saying a prophecy. He didn't realize he was saying a prophecy and saying it in the plural. The simple meaning is he was just saying it because he was saying not to raise any thoughts of what was going to happen. Yeah, any suspicion. Now, what about Yitzchak? As you asked before, does he know what's going on or not? Next verse. Vayikach Avraham es atzei ha'olah, and Avraham took the wood for the Ola, for the sacrifice. Vayasem al Yitzchak beno, he puts it on Yitzchak his son. Vayikach biyado et ha'ish v'samachelas, and he took in his hand the fire, which I guess is the flint or whatever it is that he's going to use to light the fire. V'samachelas and the ma'acheles, which literally means the eater, the consumer. Not consumer as in one who buys things, but one which consumes. The consumer, the eater, but it actually is referring to the knife. The knife that he was going to use to slaughter him. Vayelchu shnehem yachdav, and they both went together. Maybe one more verse before we talk about this one. Or actually two more. Vayomer Yitzchak el Avraham Aviv. And Yitzchak said to Avraham his father. Vayomer Aviv, and he said, my father. Vayomer hineni bini, and he said, here I am, my son. Vayomer, and he said, hinei ha'ish v'ha'itzim. Behold, here is the fire and the wood. Ve'ayeh ha'sel la'olah. Where is the sheep for the sacrifice? Vayomer Avraham, and Avraham said, Elokim yirelo hasel le'olah b'ni. God will show for him the sheep for an olah, my son. Vayelchu shnehem yachdav, and they both went together. Chazal tell us that when you see that phrase, Vayelchu shnehem yachdav, they both went together at the end of Pasuk Vav, and at the end of Pasuk Ches, both 6 and 8 end the same way. They both went together. So Chazal tells us as follows. In Pasuk Vav, they both went together. Avram, who knew why they were going, and Yitzchak, who did not know why they were going, Yitzchak assumed that they're going to take an animal and slaughter the animal. Avram knew he was going to take his son and slaughter his son. Yet they both went together, meaning that Avraham was as happy and excited to go to serve Hashem as Yitzchak was when Yitzchak didn't know what was actually going to happen to him. So that first phrase is showing the greatness of Avraham, that Avraham was just as excited despite the fact that he knew he was about to slaughter his own son. Then Yitzchak says to Avraham, where's the sheep? Avraham says, Hashem will show the sheep for slaughter for the Ola, my son. And they both went together. Look carefully at those words. At the end of Pasuk Ches, I shall read the whole Pasuk again. 8. Vayom Avraham, and Avraham said, Elohim God, Yir Elo Haseh Le'ola, will show for him the sheep for a sacrifice, Bini, my son. So Chazal tell us, Avraham was saying to Yitzchak, God will show for him the sheep for a sacrifice, my son. You are the sheep for the sacrifice, my son. That's what Avraham was saying. Hashem will show the sheep for the sacrifice, my son. Yitzchak was no fool. He figured it out immediately when Avraham said that he was the sheep for the slaughter. And then it says, Vayelchu Shneihem Yachdav, and they both went together. Now that Yitzchak has been enlightened and knows what's going to happen, nevertheless, he is as excited to go as his father is, and remember, his father is as excited to go as Yitzchak was before he found out that he was the sheep for the slaughter. So the Torah is telling us by association that both of them were just as excited as someone who didn't know that one of them was going to die. That's, again, showing how great they each were, that they were willing to do what Hashem said, regardless of the fate that awaited them. Avraham losing his son, Yitzchak losing his life. Neither one understood how this would fit into Hashem's plan, but if that's what Hashem wants, then that is what we're going to do. And they were excited to do it, to follow Hashem's ways. Let me point out to you that any one of us being faced with a test like this, no one should ever have to go through such a test. It is an incredibly difficult test to pass. Would any of us be able to pass such a test? I don't know. I can't answer that, and I hope we never have to answer that. We hope we can pass whatever test we are given. But if Abraham would have gone through the motions of willing to sacrifice his son, but he would have done it unhappily, that would have been failure. The test wasn't just, will he do it? The test was, will he do it like Yitzchak, when Yitzchak didn't know what he was doing? Will he do it completely, totally, giving himself over completely? I do what God wants. Avraham at this point in his life had reached a point where he was so given over to God, he could give over everything. It didn't matter anymore. He had no personal preferences. He had no personal likes, dislikes. Avraham was now thinking completely godlike. Whatever Hashem wants, I want. As the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, which we read yesterday in the second parak, Asei Ritzoncha Kiritzono. Make what you want what he wants. We have that struggle all the time. We want a certain thing. God wants a certain thing. I want to sleep late. God wants me to get up and go to Shacharis. Okay, that's a struggle. So the alarm goes off, and you hit the snooze button, and then you hit the snooze button again, and then finally you drag yourself out of bed and get dressed and go to Shacharis. So I struggled. Fine, I'll go. That's a struggle between what I want and what God wants. Avraham didn't have that struggle at this point, not because he was born that way, because he had worked his way up to the point where his wants were God's wants. And that was the test over here. How far will that go? Does Avraham really have no personal wants, and everything is what God wants? And that's what he does over here by showing that he was willing to do it no matter what. And he's happy to do it, excited to do it. He'll do it as if God was asking him to go and have a party. He'll do whatever God wants him to do. It makes no difference. we can say it a little bit differently. I can't speak for all of you. I'm a lot more excited to listen to Hashem, to eat a good meal on Shabbos, than I am to listen to Hashem to fast on Yom Kippur. You may not feel that way, but that's the way I feel. It's a lot easier for me to get excited about eating a good shalant on Shabbos than it is for me to get excited about fasting on Yom Kippur. Now, I do both of them, because God says so. But I can't say that I'm as excited to do both of them. I'm just the same excited. I'm more excited to do one than the other. Abraham didn't have those gradations. And Abraham's mind and Abraham's desires, his desires were God's desires. And they were the same. If this is what Hashem wants, I'm excited. If that's what Hashem wants, I'm excited. I'm excited to do what Hashem wants. I'm privileged to be able to serve God. I'm privileged to be able to do what God wants. I'm privileged to be alive, and I'm privileged to serve. And that's what I'm happy to do, whatever form that takes. Why does Yitzchak wake up here and ask about the sheep? They've been traveling for 3 days without a sheep.
It's getting closer.
It's getting closer.
Find one along the way.
All of a sudden, and the Torah really spells out the whole conversation. Yitzchak said to Avram, his father. In case you forgot that Avram was his father, Yitzchak says to Avram, his father. And he says, my father. I would imagine that's what he said, right? And he said, and Avram answers, here I am, my son. And Yitzchak says, here's the fire and the wood. Where's the sheep for the sacrifice? And Avram said, isn't that a little bit wordy? This exchange is back and forth. And what's the emphasis? My father, my son. Here I am, my son, my father. It's a little...
I think it's for us.
Go ahead.
I'm feeling like it's more, you know, for me, that relationship, the willingness to fulfill God's will. And when I first started to learn from people in this community, I always remember Mrs. Goldberger giving classes. She kept saying, whatever you do, do it with joy. And she'd go on and on. Whatever you do, do it with joy. You know, and that's what I'm thinking even with this. Whatever they were even doing, knew to do it with joy because it's God's will.
Okay. Okay. I think you're correct that the emphasis on my father, my son, is to point out the familial relationship over here. My father, my son, we have to just remember what's going on over here. This is a father and son. These are two people who love each other dearly, and one is going to slaughter the other. Yitzchak has now been separated from the other two. It is now Yitzchak's turn to think. What is this separation? Until now, Yishmael and Eliezer came along for the ride. And now we dropped them off at a rest stop and we're going on ourselves. Why? What changed?
They don't have one yet. Well, this is where I asked.
Okay, so I think that's what brings about Yitzchak's question. Yitzchak wants to know what's going on now. Until now, it was not yet clear what was going to happen. We had four people, and we were traveling with a donkey, and we were going to go bring a sacrifice. My father dropped off the other two and the donkey, and now we're going on foot, the two of us. And we're carrying the load. Until now, we weren't carrying the load. It was on the donkey. Now, I'm carrying the wood. My father's carrying the things. What is happening over here? Clearly something important, something big, something very, very significant is about to happen. What is it? And therefore Yitzchak is reviewing it in his mind. And Yitzchak, being no fool, begins to realize what's going to happen. He understands there's no sheep here. We got rid of all extraneous material. The donkey, the other two, they're gone. That means the people who are going now must be the ones who are essential to what's going to happen. Until now, we were taking things that weren't essential, just for the ride, just for the road. But now, we've stripped away all the non-essential parties. The donkey, Yishmael, Eliezer. Why am I still here? My father can't bring a sacrifice by himself? What, am I just the stable, am I just the lad carrying the wood for my father? Is that all it is? I'm just the helper? Yitzchak begins to realize there is an essential item that's missing, and I seem to be non-essential. Wait a second. Maybe that's, let's put two and two together. One item is missing. I don't seem to have a purpose. Maybe I'm that item. And so he says, and that's what the Torah points out to us. Vayomer Yitzchak el Avraham Aviv. Yitzchak says to Avraham, his father, understand, this is a question he's asking his father. A son is asking his father, because Yitzchak is saying, my father's going to sacrifice me? So it doesn't just say he asked Avraham. He asked Avraham, his father. I'm asking this as a son, not as a student, not as a bystander. I'm your son. And he says, my father. Emphasis. I'm asking my father a question. With everything that brings up in your mind about the relationship between a father and son, between a parent and child. And Avram responds, here I am, my son. I'm still your father. I haven't forgotten. I know you're my son. It's almost like Yitzchak is trying to remind his father, do you remember? I'm your son. What are you about to do? Avram says back to him, here I am, my son. I know I'm your father. I haven't forgotten. That relationship is just as strong as it always was. So then Yitzchak goes on and he says, okay, fine. So we have all the items that we need, but where's the sheep? And Avram says back, Hashem will show the sheep for slaughter, my son. This is from Hashem. This is not child sacrifice as the pagans did. This is all from Hashem, and this is what he wants. This is, yes, I'm your father, yes, you're my son. And this is what God wants. They both go together. They're together, one mind, to do what God wants, happily. Tess 9. That exchange right there in the verses, that's to me, we read this on Rosh Hashanah, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. That to me is the most difficult of the verses to read. After this, we know what's going to happen. We all know he's going to survive. And we know that from the outset. But this exchange right here, where that is being brought back, what we talked about last week, about the incredible nisayon, the incredible challenge of a parent giving over a child for Hashem, and what that all that means, right here, these are the verses that bring it out. That's where the point of the challenge is, right over there. And they came to the place that God had said to him. And Avraham built over there the altar. And he arranged the wood. And he tied up Yitzchak, his son, tied up his arms and his legs. And he placed him on the altar above the wood. So here we get a blow-by-blow account of exactly what's happening. He tied up Yitzchak in the Slichos. We say that Yitzchak asked Avraham to tie him up so that he shouldn't flinch and therefore ruin the sacrifice. Because in order for the sacrifice to be kosher, it has to be cut exactly right. And so the Yitzchak wants to be bound so that he does not flinch and therefore involuntarily and ruin the slaughter. Avraham sent his hand, and he took the knife, lishchot es beno, to slaughter his son. Before we get to the final part of it over here, ma'acheles, which means knife, or as I said, means to the eater or the consumer, the one that consumes. This phrase you don't find anywhere else. The word for knife is not ma'acheles anywhere else in the Torah. It's always sakin, which means a knife, or some other word. Ma'acheles, the one that consumes, or the one that eats, is unusual. Now, the simple meaning is because the knife eats what it hits. Whatever the knife, whatever the blade hits, it consumes it. It eats it. It destroys it. But what else is being conveyed over here? Again, Rashi calls to our attention. Rashi calls to our attention that we eat of this, of the merit of this act for all generations. We, the Jews, consume, we eat, we benefit from this incredible self-sacrifice on Abraham and Yitzchak's part for all generations. And that's why here, this knife is called a ma'achelas. All other knives are called ma'achelas because no other sacrifice in the history of the world has the impact that this one has. This is the one that stands out. This is the quintessential sacrifice. So he sent his hand to take the knife to slaughter his son. Pasuk Yud Aleph 11. Vayikra Elav Malach Hashem Min HaShamayim, and an angel of Hashem called out to him from the heavens. Vayomer, he said, Avraham, Avraham. Says it twice. Vayomer Hineni, he said, here I am. Vayomer, he said, Al Tishlach Yadcha El Anar, do not send your hand to the lad, to the lad, as we said before. Ve'altas lo ma'uma, don't do anything to him. Ki atoy adati, for now I know, he's speaking in the name of God, for now I, God, know. Ki yirei Elokim ata, that you are one who fears God. Ve'lo chasachta es bincha es echidcha mimeni, and you do not hold back my son, your son, your only one, from me. Why does he say his name twice? Avraham, Avraham.
Didn't hear him?
He
was too. No, it's not there. God that did it. It was the angel.
True.
Maybe he's... Why would he listen to the angel when it's God that told him to do it? So maybe that's why the angel had to call. So I don't know why the angel did it.
An angel is a...
Not angel.
Robot. Right.
But God told him to do this. So why wasn't it God almighty?
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question.
Was it similar for Moshe? Didn't he call Moshe twice? Though?
He called Moshe twice. Over there, Chazal tell us that was a Lashon Chiba. That was a language of love. Like you would say, you know, you call someone's name twice.
Moshe.
It could be. It could be. But let me call your attention.
And now he's about to tell him not to do it.
But to alert him to make sure he was not going to do it.
Okay. Let me ask another complimentary question to that. What's that?
What is that line?
That line is a short pause.
So
Abraham, Abraham.
And a pause, and then Abraham.
Right. A short pause. Wait, let's make that a little stronger. He says to him, "Don't send your hand to the lad, and don't do anything to him." What does that mean? Don't send your hand to the lad, and don't do anything to him.
Don't hurt him.
So he's about. So don't send your hand to the lad, and
don't untie him.
Oh, leave him alone.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't hurt him. Don't untie him. Don't hurt him. There's an incredible medrash, which Rashi brings part of it over here, that Abraham, the angel called out to Abraham, said, Abraham. He didn't want to listen. Abraham, don't send your hand to the lad. So Abraham said, can I at least take a little blood?
No. Okay.
And he said, don't do anything to him. So what does that mean? Abraham is bloodthirsty all of a sudden? Till now, we're talking about how incredible it is that he's willing to give up his son. Nah, 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 nah. Then he's finally stopped at the last moment. And Abraham says, I can't? What, I can't? Let me out.
It took him 3 days to get to that point, and here he's about to do it. I can understand that he's so focused on doing it
good.
That he feels like, I haven't done all of this.
We have
to prepare myself for this and not for nothing.
Okay, very good. Very good, very good, very good.
I mean, that's fine.
No, very good, very good. There's a...
No.
there were moments. We understand.
I'm trying the conversation here. Now, there is a verse. It's repeated three times. It says it three times in Shir Hashem, in Song of Songs. That says, "In ta'iru v'im ta'oleru es ha'ahava achetechpat." And this is a. It's not exactly what the verse is talking about. The Ramban, Nachmanides, uses this verse to make a point over here. And what he says is as follows. That verse means, if you arouse the love of Hashem, or of you to Hashem, Achetechbatz means, comes from the word chefetz, which means item. You have to make it into something real. You have to do something with it. If a person becomes very inspired, I'm inspired. I heard a great talk. I was on Shabbos and I heard Rabbi Shalman's talk and it just inspired me. And now I'm psyched up. Or a person says, I just witnessed an incredible thing. Just a very chain of events, and everything clicked, and everything came together, and I see God's hand. What he did for me, how he saved me, or how he gave me something, it just all came together. All of a sudden, I have an epiphany of the love that God has for me, or that I have for God, or that the Jewish people have for each other, whatever it is. An incredible epiphany, an incredible inspiration. Okay, great. Now what? What do you do with that inspiration? If you don't do anything, you just say, I'm inspired. That inspiration will amount to nothing. Because inspiration is not an end in and of itself. It's a means to an end. The purpose of inspiration is to make something happen with that inspiration. The person hears an incredible story, or hears a great class or a great talk about giving tzedakah, for example. And after they walk in inspired, wow, what you can do for people, then the logical thing to do is give some tzedakah. Put that inspiration into an action. Make it happen. Do something with that inspiration. A person hears a talk or sees something that has to do with davening, and they're inspired to daven well, to talk to Hashem, and then they just go about their business. That's an incredible opportunity lost. What they should do is daven right away. Put it into a davening. Inspiration is meant to be used. Abraham, you can argue, was more inspired here than anybody had ever been or will ever be in history. He had gotten to a point where he had his love for Hashem and his conviction of Hashem's love for him was so great that he was about to slaughter his own son happily for God. And he's got the knife in his hand and he's about to slaughter. It's not like this. It's not a chop. He's holding it to the neck. And he's about to slice. And God says, or the angel says, hold on. So Avram says, and the way the Medrash says it is, he says, "Im kein lechinam basi lakan." Then I came here for no reason. I can't just waste this. What do you want me to do with this? I'm about to give up everything for God. Now what? Don't kill him. Okay, but at least let me take some blood. Let me do something. At least something symbolic. I'm happy not to kill my son, but what am I going to do now? No, you can't even take blood. Nothing. Abraham understands it's impossible that nothing can happen. It's impossible. There must be a way of taking this incredible inspiration and putting it into reality. And that's what leads to the next verse. Vayisa Avraham es einav, and Avraham lifted up his eyes. Vayar yisav, v'hine ayel achar me'achaz basvach v'karnav. And there was another ram caught in the branches with its horns. Vayelech Avraham, and Avraham went by Yikach HaSa'il, and he took the ram, Vayalehu Le'olah Tachas Beno, and he brought it up as an Ola in place of his son. Why did Avraham lift up his eyes? What caused him to lift up his eyes? He's busy about to slaughter his son, and he stops. Okay, fine. Now you're going to go sightseeing? Why is he looking up? Because Avraham knows there must be an alternative. It can't possibly be that I can't do anything. His first guess when God says, stop, is, okay, then maybe I'm supposed to take blood. Because it can't be nothing. So let me at least take blood. No, can't do that either. Then there's got to be something else. It can't end here. And he looks up, and sure enough, there's the aisle. There's the ram. And Chazal tells us that ram was designated for this purpose from creation. From the 6 days of creation, this ram was designated for this purpose. And in fact, the ram was running to Avraham, that Avraham should take this ram and immediately slaughter him in place of Yitzchak. But the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, always rearing his head, wanted to stop the ram, because the Satan understands that inspiration, if it can just go for nothing, is great. It'll be wasted. It will do nothing. It'll just be nothing. It won't go for future generations. The whole thing will be a total waste. If only Avraham will do nothing. So he gets that thing stuck in the branches. But Avraham knows he's got to put it into action. He looks up, he sees it. Now, here's the tricky part. Avraham has to maintain that level of total inspiration. He's psyched up for the moment. He's ready to do it, but the ram is stuck in the branches. Avraham has to maintain that mindset, go, cut the ram out of the branches, bring him to the altar, and then slaughter the ram in place of his son. And Chazal tell us that as he slaughtered that ram, every action he did, he said, may it be God's will that this should be as if it's my son. It should be God's will that I'm slitting my son's throat. It should be God's will that I'm catching my son's blood. It should be God's will that I'm throwing my son's blood on the altar. It should be God's will that I'm skinning my son, that I am cutting my son into pieces, that I am lighting my son on fire and burning him on the altar. Everything he did it thinking, this is my son. Of course, he knew it wasn't. But he did it with the same inspiration, with the same giving himself over to God. This is if it's my son. Everything is if it's my son. Which is why, later on in history, later on in the Chumash, it says, when we have the terrible verses, we're going to end with this, the terrible verses of the Tochacha that say all the terrible things that happen to us, God forbid, if we sin. And over there, it says that even after all the punishments, Hashem says, He will remember Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'zachati es brisi Avraham. I will remember my covenant with Avraham. Ve'es brisi Yitzchak, and my covenant with Yitzchak. Ve'es brisi Yaakov ezkor, and my covenant with Yaakov I'll remember. Ve'ha'aretz ezkor, and I'll remember the land. So Hashem says, even after all that's been said, and all the bad and all the punishments, I'm going to remember the forefathers. I'm going to remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But it says, I'll remember my covenant with Avraham, my covenant with Yitzchak, and my covenant with Yaakov I'll remember. So it says, I'll remember with Avraham. It says, I'll remember with Yaakov. But with Yitzchak, it doesn't say, I'll remember. It doesn't say that. Now, what do you mean God doesn't forget, so God doesn't have to remember? But remember means that God decides to focus on something. That's what it means that God remembers. So I'll remember the covenant of Avraham, the covenant of Yitzchak, and the covenant of Yaakov, I'll remember. Why doesn't it say remember with the covenant of Yitzchak? It just says the covenant of Yitzchak. Say our sages, say Chazal, because the ashes of Yitzchak are sitting in front of the throne of God. What ashes? What ashes? He wasn't killed. He wasn't burnt, but he was. Because Avraham did to this ram what he meant to do to Yitzchak with the same intentions and the same thoughts. And therefore it is tantamount to Yitzchak actually having been sacrificed. And although he wasn't, he was. And therefore, both things have come true. Yitzchak is the legacy, and Yitzchak is dead. He's not dead, but he is dead. Hashem has set it up that Avraham has actually killed Yitzchak when he hasn't. And that's what happens over here. And therefore, as Mrs. Jeter said, it's as if he's there, and therefore there's nothing to remember. It's right in front of God. Those ashes are right there in front of God, which means that Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak, is something which God doesn't need to remember. He never forgets it, which means he's always focused on it. It's forever after. The most incredible self-sacrifice anybody has ever done. The flying colors. We will still have to continue with one more class about this. Of course, you understand, what are those horns of that ram? The shofar. All right. That's the shofar. Elo shel Yitzchak, the ram of Yitzchak, is the first reference to shofar, which of course we'll have to talk about. You mean while he's doing all this? It doesn't say. He must have just been on the side. I don't know what he was. All right.